Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine. And as always, it is a pleasure to be with you. Downsizing is on the rise, at least it appears to be. According to recent research commissioned by PropTech firm Downsizer.com, nearly 2 million households will consider downsizing in the next 5 years. That's up from 1.68 million in 2021. So why would anyone want to downsize? What are the potential benefits and the costs involved? And when could it be something worth considering? Those are just some of the questions that we'll be getting into on today's episode. And ready to lend us her expertise on the topic is today's guest, Kat Graham, financial planner at Bridges Financial Services. Kat, a very warm welcome to you. Many thanks for joining us on Friends with Money.
Hey, Tom. Thanks so much for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here, Kat. I'm sure some people hear the term downsizing and think, oh, that's a way to access equity, or hey, that's a way to simplify life by moving to a smaller home that's easier to maintain. So to start us off, what do we actually mean by downsizing? And I guess broadly speaking, is it really that simple, or does it require some serious thought?
It does require some serious thought, but it can be simple. So downsizing, you know, if you had a 4 or 5 bedroom house and your bedroom's upstairs, that doesn't become practical as you get older. Downsizing doesn't always mean being left with extra money though, because sometimes if you want to stay in the same suburb, the cost of a townhouse is not too dissimilar to a house that might need some work done to it. Consideration as to where you want to be living. Is it going to be in the same area, or are you going to move closer to your support network, being, you know, children or nieces, nephews, whatever that looks like for the individual. So, and then you've got to think about, depending on how old you are, how do you create a new support network if you're moving somewhere completely different, which can be quite daunting to try and create a new network when you're a lot older as well.
I'm sure a lot of other people have been in this situation before or in this situation at the moment, but my dad is very much kind of in that age bracket and thinking about, oh, you know, do I stay put where I am? Do I move somewhere else? And as you said, there's a lot to think about. So, you know, worth considering. Kat, let's really get into the topic and let's talk about some of the potential benefits for people who are considering downsizing. So why might people, I guess, consider it at all?
It comes down to a factor of maintaining a house. So my partner and I have had this conversation at the moment, you know, if one of us was gone, would we stay in the house we're in? Well, no, because there's too much garden, there's too much maintenance, that we would want something smaller. I know when my parents downsized a few years ago, it was quite daunting. They probably should have done it a few years earlier to make the most of it, but downsizing can release equity. It can reduce the footprint. You know, for my parents, for the first time in their life, they had 2 toilets in an abode, which, you know, was pretty exciting when you're at a certain age.
I can imagine. And just on that kind of that releasing equity side, is that kind of the main motivation that you find amongst your clients for wanting to downsize, or is it a bit of a mix of the two factors?
It can definitely be the releasing equity side of things, because, you know, our generation has had the benefit of super for their whole working career versus super wasn't legislated and compulsory until the 90s. So a lot of their working career, there was no accumulation of what, you know, future generations have got. So yeah, it definitely can be the releasing equity side of things if the funds that they've got are exhausted, and nobody really wants to live on just age pension alone. It's not a fabulous lifestyle.
You mentioned superannuation there, Kat, and I'd like to pick up on that in a second. But before we do, I think it's probably worth maybe getting into some of the potential risks involved with downsizing, or perhaps, you know, associated costs that can come as a bit of a shock for people that are doing it. So are there any kind of I guess, major risks, common risks or common costs that come to mind that you see people experience when they go about downsizing?
Yeah, so I don't think too many of them think about the costs of what it costs, the real estate agent costs, the conveyancing costs, the removalist costs. And then you add on top of that, if you're buying first, you need to find a deposit. And if you don't have that, where that's going to come from. So it is very much, I like to spreadsheet it with my clients. What's that going to look like? Do we need new furniture? Because what fitted in the old house isn't going to fit in the new one. So just to go, all right, is this going to work? Is this going to release what you think it's going to release you equity-wise to get you the lifestyle that you want?
These are all the kind of things that I would completely forget about before doing something like that, especially something like the furniture. I would never think about that. And I feel like I've made that mistake before moving from one place to another. Let's get into the superannuation side of things now, Kat, and how it relates to downsizing. And specifically, I wanted to get your thoughts and I guess get you to give us a bit of a walkthrough on downsizer contributions. So, and how does the downsizer contribution scheme work, Kat? And can you, I guess, give us a sense of what it's all about and who may actually be eligible to take advantage of it in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's actually available for anybody over the age of 55. You have to have lived in your house for more than 10 years, and it is up to $300,000 per person. So a couple, that's $600,000 that can effectively move into superannuation and then into account-based pension, which is tax-free income and tax-free earnings and under the current legislation. So, and then from there, they've got extra income that they draw down to supplement age pension or whatever else the income they've got coming through, rental income, UK pensions, defined benefit, you know.
So it's essentially, it can be a really effective strategy from a tax point of view to yes, kind of fund retirements by tapping into that equity from their existing home.
Absolutely. It's important to realize that there's timelines involved that must be met. So it must be within 90 days of settlement unless you get an extension from the ATO, which they do grant in some circumstances. And a form must be lodged with the superannuation provider at the time of the contribution so that they know that it's a downsizer contribution.
And just to kind of really kind of confirm this, Kat, this is for the principal place of residence for someone, not an investment property. Is that right?
That's right. Not, they must have lived there themselves for 10 years.
These are definitely things all worth knowing then. So thank you, Kat. Aside from superannuation, I guess the other thing that really kind of stuck out to me around downsizing is how it might interact with the age pension. And I'm sure other people would be curious to know about that. So Kat, what do people need to know about the two?
So depending on how much you release equity-wise, it definitely can impact the age pension because age pension is calculated on a combination of the asset test and the income test, and then they pay you the lower of the two of those. Majority of people are asset tested, and every $1,000 that you're over the threshold reduces your pension by $3 a fortnight. So some people are surprised to hear that will impact their pension, but it's a little bit like those old butcher scales, the more you have, the less you get. And as that reduces, it sort of just inverses. So but the upside is that you've got choices and you get to live on more than just the age pension and get to enjoy your life whilst you're still able to do so.
Beyond, I guess, the age pension and SuperCat, I probably worth talking a little bit about timing now. And you've mentioned it before, but is there, an optimal window, financially speaking, to downsize? And I guess, what kind of conversation should people be having in this regard, I guess, with their family or a financial advisor before they start calling up real estate agents?
Yeah, absolutely. Get your financial planner involved sooner rather than later. Don't ring them asking for a deposit at the real estate agents. It's always nice to be ahead of the game and have talked through all the options and potential downfalls. And get the children involved as well, like roundtable discussion, this is what we want to do. I've seen situations before where, they'll move to closer to one child and that causes family disruption. So definitely having that cohesive discussion and open discussion to make sure that everyone's on board and understand, because it can be an emotional thing for the children as well. Like, their family home potentially can be going, and they think of that as home. So there can be disruption, obviously, for the people that are leaving, but then the children as well.
Obviously, this will depend on the individual family or the people involved, but you mentioned the experience that your own parents had with this, and the fact that it probably would have been better if they did it slightly earlier. Yep. Is this the kind of thing that people should be talking about, kind of pre-retirement, maybe in their 50s or 60s? Or when's the kind of, you know, a decent time to start thinking about this?
Yeah, when you start to be heading towards that empty nest stage, you know, what do you want the rest of your life to look like? Is it, you know, is it spending hours and hours gardening and keeping on top of things, or is it, you know, more likely to be hitting a round of golf or bowls? And those things I find are much more popular with the retirees, and just home maintenance constantly. So just what do you want your future life to look like? And if it's not in this house, well, let's start looking at options. Is it going to continue to be an independent living in a flat or a unit, or a smaller house, or is it going to be looking at something like a retirement village, which is a completely different option and is a lifestyle option more than a financial one, but gives people a sense of community and people around them of the same age and a network.
Final question before we let you go, Kat. Is there anything that you wish more Australians, I guess, understood about this decision to downsize before it's too late? Because I imagine you've had plenty of conversations over the years about this topic.
Yes, I have lots and lots of conversations about this all the time. We do have an aging demographic, so lots of them are downsizing as we speak. I think I would just say, how is your life going to change? Do you need to find a new GP? Are you going to have surplus funds? Are you okay with the impact it's going to have on your age pension? And do you know what your financial future is going to look like, just to give some certainty out there? Because in some instances, we have seen that with the transaction costs, there's no surplus funds, so it doesn't actually achieve the outcome that they were looking for to start off with.
All good things to think about. And again, I guess it goes back to the importance of being prepared and having these kind of conversations earlier on. And as you said, getting an advisor involved if that little bit more of expertise is needed. Kat, this has been such an excellent chat. I'm so pleased that we finally delved into the topic of downsizing. It's taken far too long to do, but many thanks for joining us today. It's been a pleasure having you on the show, and we'll look forward to having you back on in the future.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Tom. Have a great day.
That is it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast, but don't forget to jump on our website, moneymag.com.au, for your daily dose of financial news. Or you can go grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, Friends with Money will be right back in your podcast feed next week. So until then, my name is Tom Watson. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.